Happy Friday afternoon, everybody. This is Andrew Sletten sitting in for Steve on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Always appreciate Steve giving me the opportunity to sit behind the microphone. And what a Friday it is. Addison sitting behind the board and doing a great job, as always, being our producer. Addison, it's great to be with you.
I wouldn't give me too much credit. We've just started. There's plenty of time for something to go wrong.
Well, that's true. But today is going to be a shortened version of the Steve Hallstrom Show. We are just going to be in here in the 4 o'clock hour. The 5 o'clock hour flag is going to switch over to some sports. And but it's good to be with you here on this beautiful Friday afternoon. And today's a great show. I'm thankful again every time I'm able to sit in for Steve. But today I have a good friend of mine in studio with me, and my friend pastors a church. His name is Michael Woods. Pastors a church in Beulah, North Dakota, called Truth Community Church. And so what it's going to be today, the discussion is really just going to be a pastor's roundtable, and want to get into a couple of topics and some of the issues of the day, really tackling these issues through a biblical perspective and a biblical worldview. And so thank you for tuning in. Appreciate you joining us here. And, you know, Michael, it's so good to have you on the show. I've been looking forward to this for a while since we knew we were able to connect. So thank you for being here.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I love being on the radio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, this week we saw a couple of things come out, you know, from the White House. One of the things that President Trump has been busy doing is signing executive orders. And it's been a flurry of executive orders coming out from the White House on a wide array of topics. But one of the things that I wanted to address, that this week on Tuesday, President Trump did issue an executive order on a topic that is a big cultural discussion right now, and that is on the topic of IVF. So President Trump issued an executive order with the goal of expanding access to and lowering the cost of the infertility treatment known as IVF. And what the order did was it directed Trump's team to come up with a list of policy ideas for protecting IVF access. And this is what they said in the press release and in the conversation surrounding the executive order. President Trump said, quote, "Because we want more babies, to put it very nicely. And for the same reason, we will allow new parents to deduct major newborn expenses from their taxes so that parents that have a beautiful baby will be able. So we're pro-family," end quote. And I wanted to have a little bit of a conversation around this topic of IVF. As we start the show today, it's a topic that is really, in the last couple of years, I would say the last 5 years, has grown exponentially because of the practice, of course, of IVF. And, you know, unless you're hiding under a rock, you probably have heard of the practice of IVF. And I think what we want to discuss today, and we would love for you to call in and text in your thoughts and join in on this conversation, is what should be the church's, I would say, talking points when it comes to IVF. I think there's a lot of biblical considerations when it comes to this practice. And you know, one thing that I find fascinating in President Trump's executive order, the goal that he stated to have more babies is a good goal. And I think when we consider the end and then the means to the end, both of those are very much should be part of the conversation, especially when it comes to morality. And so that's what we're going to have today. We're going to have that discussion. We invite you to give us a call, 701-271-1100, or you can text in your comments at 701-237-1590. You know, one thing that was cited by the president when signing the executive order is he talked about the dropping fertility rate and how that rate has dropped 3% in 2023 from 2022. And consistently, year by year, we have seen a drop in the birth rate. And so, Michael, I would say there are symptoms of a falling birth rate that we see in our culture. Some of those symptoms we talk about, and they are talking about even in the legislature right now in Bismarck, is workforce shortages, even from a national security perspective, having a low population, and, you know, puts nations in a position of weakness. And I would say, though, the majority of the conversation around a low birth rate has to do with economic conditions. And I think, in my opinion, it's the wrong way to start the conversation about lower birth rates. But the end, so to speak, of this executive order is we want more babies. That's what Trump said. And I don't disagree with that. But I do feel like there are some big considerations around how we get to that position.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so even Elon Musk, if you've been following the news, and he's gotten a lot of press lately, I would call him a scientist. He's an observer. He's trying to find truth. This is an individual that has seen that we've got a problem, and that is we don't have enough babies being born. And that's absolutely true. And I would say that there's some alignment here with the church in that we understand that God told us to be fruitful and multiply. And, of course, that has two sides to it. There's the natural. We're supposed to be families. We're supposed to have families. And God designed that, and he told us how that's supposed to look. But also there's a spiritual family. And that we're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. So we can really get on board seeing that there's an issue.
Right.
And seeing that there needs to be, somebody needs to stand up and say something. And I think Andrew and I, we as pastors, but at the basic level, we're believers. We believe in the Word of God. We believe in the Bible. We believe that it just doesn't contain truth, but it is truth. And when you begin to understand and take it literally, you realize that that we can address this, and we must address it. We must stand up and say something, but there's a right way and there's a wrong way to address it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say at a very, you know, basic level, there's a way that can lead and have very detrimental consequences. And that's really what we're talking about today, is with some of these problems that we face in our country, how do we deal with them? You know, and of course, as Bible believers, there's only so much, there's a limit to what we can do, what we should do. And faith in God and trust in God, you can only use other methods and other things, the man-made way, so far, to where it's, you're completely taking God out of the picture, you know? And so that's really, you know, from a pastoral standpoint, I know that this is a very extremely emotional discussion.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we believe that God is sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where today, no hatred for anybody. I've got friends. I think everybody is touched by this discussion, by this situation, right, of, you know, and I think it's a rising problem of, you know, women that would like to be mothers,
mm-hmm,
women that would, it's just an instinctual thing at some point, even if they start out with college and career and at some point they say, you know what, I want to be a mother. And when they can't, it's devastating.
It's devastating. Yeah.
And that is the fact. That is true. You know, we're not denying that. But how you deal with that,
mm-hmm,
it's not, you know, the end does not justify the means. It's just not, well, we're gonna just do it. And so, I mean, I think there's some real biblical guidance here for this issue.
I agree, and we got to head into a break, and we're going to dive a little bit deeper into this. And in fact, we just had a texter text in and said, "Did you know Elon Musk has 13 kids?" And yes, we did. And actually, that's part of what we're going to discuss on the other side of the break. The thing that Elon Musk has communicated as the end, we're going to talk about the means to the end. It's a very it is a deeper issue. And hope that you'll continue to share your thoughts with us here at 701-271-1100. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Steve Hallstrom Show. Happy Friday afternoon. It is 4:20 here in beautiful Fargo, Moorhead. This is Andrew Sletten sitting in for Steve Hallstrom, and appreciate you spending some time with us in the 4 o'clock hour here. The show will only be here until 5 o'clock, and then there is MSUM sports following us directly when we get off the air here at 5 o'clock. But it's good to be with you, and again, thank you to Steve for asking me to fill in, and always a pleasure to come and just share my heart and thoughts with the community of Fargo-Moorhead. And today's been a joy for me to have in studio a good friend of mine, Pastor Michael Woods. He pastors, again, Truth Community Church in Beulah, North Dakota. And we're just having a free-flowing conversation, which we have over the years done dozens and dozens and dozens of times.
Yeah, it's been a lot.
And so now it's just with a microphone in front of us. But I hope that these conversations are fruitful for somebody. And, you know, we are...
Get somebody to think.
Exactly. Yeah. And addressing issues of the day through a biblical worldview. Mm-hmm. And holistically looking at some of these topics. And this is one of those topics, as we discussed before the break, that has impacted a lot of lives. And we all know somebody that's been impacted by infertility, mm-hmm. and it's devastating.
Yeah.
And to those families who are doing it right, and we would say doing it the way that God intended it to be, with a husband and wife together in the union of marriage, you know, God's ways are perfect. You know, one of the scriptures that I hold to often and pray for myself often is this truth, is that God's ways are perfect, but then a couple of scriptures later it says, and he makes my way perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's the motto that we try to live by, and God's ways are perfect. And when it comes to infertility, it's a hard issue. As you mentioned before, it's a very emotional issue. And so IVF has been in the conversation, you know, over the last, I'd say, 10 years in particular. And, you know, I think there's a lot of individuals that are maybe confused on the topic of IVF and how we should approach it. You know, before the break, we had brought up Elon Musk. So Elon Musk and Donald Trump both just this week they've come out and I would say really full support of IVF, and in fact, signing an executive order stating that IVF should be more accessible. Now, let's just look at Elon Musk for a minute. So this is where Elon Musk has done and is an incredible mind, has done some incredible things just here recently, of course, with the United States government. But, you know, as you mentioned, he's a scientist. He's many things. But I would say on this issue, the end that he desires, which is, you know, as he has said and stated, the issue we have is a very low birth rate. Well, he's doing his part to try to tackle that issue. He has 13 kids. Not many of us know people anymore that have 13 kids. But the way that those 13 kids have come about is just as big of a discussion, and we should talk about it,
yeah,
as the 13 kids. The means to the end doesn't justify the end.
Right.
And I hope that this will spark some conversation again and thoughts for anyone listening here this afternoon. How do we address this? Well, I think the Bible gives us some insight into this. And this is what, you know, in this conversation, I hope to bring out. You know, so let's look at a biblical example. You had mentioned this, you know, we were talking at lunch a little bit about this today. But a biblical example is a gentleman named Abraham. Mm-hmm. And Abraham...
Another wealthy man.
Another wealthy man.
Yeah.
The father, the Bible describes, of the faithful. Mm-hmm. Abraham was counted faithful, the Bible says, you know, before he even offered his son Isaac, like he was counted faithful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the humanity of Abraham was revealed when, you know, God promised to him that he would have a son. And that promised child was in their old age. They mm-hmm. literally could not have children.
Right. Yeah.
And so we have this example where Abraham, at the suggestion of his wife, you know, took his wife's handmaiden, and they had a child together that produced Ishmael, which we're still seeing the consequences of that decision today.
Yeah, and that's the key.
That's the key.
Yep.
So the question...
Because it worked, right?
Well, it seemed...
He had
seemed
a child.
To, it seemed to, but the consequences of us taking things into our own hands, and it's simply this, it's the way of man.
Yeah.
What's the consequences of the way of man? It can seem very appealing.
Right.
But, you know, and in some ways we, as Abraham, maybe thought, well, maybe God needs my help.
Yeah.
And these have incredible worldview implications mm-hmm. when we start to go down these roads. And you said it so well at lunch today. I would love for you to share some of those thoughts that you shared about when we choose man's way, it's more than just a black and white decision. It becomes very, very complicated. As we see in the life of Elon Musk right now, having 13 kids from four different women, there's some huge implications for those kids.
Yeah, yeah. So all the way through Scripture, we see this concept of doing it God's way or man's way. And in of course, in the age that we live in now with the moving of the Spirit, there's those of us that understand that, we know that there's the potential and there's the desire from the flesh to do something in the flesh, in our own ability, in our own wisdom, when the Spirit is working and is wanting to do something, is wanting to finish the work that it started.
Right.
And we want to come in and finish it ourselves. And that started way back at the beginning. And this idea that God, who created the heaven and the earth, he created man, he breathed in him the breath of life, and said, this is how things work. These are the rules. Don't you think that the one that invented it, that created it, can also invent the rules? And so, but man has been constantly challenging that. And everyone is susceptible to that, mm-hmm. really. And so this constant realignment that we have to do, and realize that social programs, laws, there's so many things that we attempt to try to fix things and address things, and it just falls short. And then I think in the discussion today is those individual decisions that we make that become available through technology and science and you know, maybe if you've got enough money to support, you know, four wives and or
13
you know,
kids 13 and four kids wives
and
right.
things like that, it's like right. you know, it's like if a family has 13 children, they're doing it God's way, that's absolutely wonderful, mm-hmm. you know, but that's the whole thing, is that's possible. You know, we don't take these situations like we see in Scripture. There's multiple situations. Abraham's one of them. Hannah is one of them.
Yeah.
Rebecca's one of them. I mean, there's others that for various reasons cannot have children, and very sad, very devastating, but we see God working through that. God wanted to work through that. It wasn't judgment. It wasn't some kind of like, okay, I'm judging you and I don't want you to have this thing that you want, mm-hmm. but God was working through it.
And I hope, and that message is why what we were talking about at lunch and hope to get into kind of in a later part of the show is so important, because we do preach a message that God's way is the best way. Mm-hmm. And that's the worldview that whether we, you know, somebody would subscribe to that or not, just this last week in the state legislature, there were some pretty harsh words that were spoken around this topic of IVF in relationship to those women who could not and cannot get pregnant. And it was a message really of judgment that I think was very much overstated and left no opportunity for any grace or mercy. Like, meaning if somebody is struggling with infertility, that is devastating. Mm-hmm. And we want, as the church in particular, we need to speak a true and right message, mm-hmm. and in love, reaching for those that are struggling with infertility. But the reality is, God's way lends itself to husband, wife, in a loving relationship. The world we live in now, and this is, you know, you can go and read articles about even those who have, well, you know what, we got to get to a break. Addison is shaking his head at me. We better get to a break before we get in trouble. But we will continue this conversation. Remind me where we left off when we come back, Michael. All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to the Steve Hallstrom Show. This is Andrew Sletten sitting in for Steve. We have a bottom of the hour news break. We'll be back with you after the break. Welcome back to the Steve Hallstrom Show. Andrew Sletten sitting in for Steve. It is 4:34 here on this beautiful Friday afternoon. And you have myself and also Michael Woods, a fellow pastor, sitting in the studio today. And we're just having a conversation and would love for you to join in about this at 701-271-1100. You can text in your comments as well at 701-237-1590. We've been talking a little bit about the IVF issue. It is definitely a culture war issue of the day, but long before it was a culture war issue, It was a Bible issue. And so we want to address, you know, a lot of the concerns maybe that somebody would have in a biblical and from a biblical fashion. And there's one part of this conversation, Michael, I really wanted to get into, and we discussed it a little bit at lunch, but it's, you know, and we saw last week in our state legislature, even on a debate of a bill that many would say, you know, most all pro-life people would agree with kind of the language of a bill last week in the legislature. But what we saw was we saw two sides to this bill. There was the truth side, so to speak, and you had many that were even quoting scripture on the House floor in relationship to, you know, life begins at conception, which we all would agree with, and God is the giver of life, which we all agree with. And then you had others quoting scripture in relationship to mercy. And so this is where, over the last week, I personally have had just a lot of maybe internal thoughts and in some ways struggles about what should the discussion be for, you know, in the political world in particular. Some of these issues we can debate until we're blue in the face.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it never seems to come to a true resolution. Mm-hmm. And you made a statement at lunch today, Michael. You said this. You said, a political party cannot do what Jesus did. And you said this, and it really struck me because I was speaking and sharing the story about, you know, the woman in the New Testament who was caught in the act of adultery. The Bible says she was caught in the very act yeah. of adultery, and she was right. brought to Jesus. And, you know, the accusers were, they said, well, Jesus, what do you say should happen? This woman was caught in the act, and the law says that she should be stoned. But what say you? And that's when Jesus, you know, said the words that we hear often is, well, he that is without sin cast the first stone. The story doesn't end there, though. You know, he looks at the woman after all the accusers left, and he says, you know, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And so it's this story is so powerful because it reveals really who God is and a biblical worldview of both truth and mercy. And our needing to, as humanity, you know, individually come up with this, you could call it balance or whatever you want, but this worldview of both truth and mercy and how that is, it's, we try to have that debate
yeah.
in a political way,
yeah.
but can we ever really have it to come to a conclusion that's going to feel right?
Or be right. Like, it's just going to be very difficult. You try to use legislation, you try to address things politically, and it you're going to fall short.
Yeah.
You're just going to fall so short. There's because there are some things that when you and this is one of them, because when we have, you know, those in our congregations or those that we work with and they say, well, don't you care about me because of this situation that I'm in? And it's not that at all. Like, we're coming purely from the standpoint that God made the rules. God is sovereign, and he's the one that invented mercy. He's the one that invented justice.
Right.
And he, you know, you got to go back to that and realize that when you start to, you can really get out of whack both ways, trying to do it man's, because both of those conclusions are man's solution.
Right.
And so when you're legislating, obviously it's got to be, you got to go line by line. It's got to be clear.
The letter of the law.
And you got to be able to, you know, there's got to be consequence to breaking the law. And so that's what, you know, kind of comes forth. And that's, I believe, what this legislation's about. Like, putting people in a category, mm-hmm. like this woman was, she was put in that category of probably rightly so, as an adulterer. And Jesus' response and the reason that he could do that is because he is truth. He is mercy.
Right.
And you know, no legislative body can be that.
Right.
And we're not going to fix this issue man's way in any way, shape, or form. And so I would say to the individual today that if you're facing that, there is a way. Trusting God completely, mm-hmm. I know that seems really extreme to a lot of people, but that is a thing. That's what we believe. You know, like Hannah, like others in Scripture that said, you know what, I'm desperate, you know, I'm going to do, because again, the consequences of doing it man's way, and that's really what we're talking about today, is whether you see this as a culture issue that we need to address this because it has implications. You know, we're talking about same sex couples wanting to have, you know, benefits and wanting to, you know, get these procedures, you know, paid for by the government. So many things that if we dealt with the problem,
right,
it would just take care of that. You know, there's a reason why, like you said, there's a reason why, you know, same sex couples cannot have babies. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like, you're just trying to usurp and go against God's creation. Mm-hmm. You know, so you just create this whole mess of, and again, this isn't downplaying or discounting real emotional, you know, issues that people are going through, not being able to, you know, in a loving, right marriage, to have children, to conflate those two. But, you know, it as a society, we can have some real problems if we try to justify this. And especially if we just completely discount God's way.
And the balance between, you know, again, I say balance of truth and mercy, is it's not, and I should say it's not a balance, it's both and all the time. It's 100% truth, it's 100% mercy. Like, this is who God is revealed to us through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, yeah, is the way, the truth, and the life. And so think about this, is the church today, we are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And there are things that the church can do and really has the authority to do that we will never find in the state house.
Yeah.
As Jesus did literally to this woman this example of this woman caught in the act of adultery, it was an unfair, we could say, balance, an unjust balance, because it takes two to commit adultery.
Yeah.
Where was the man?
Where was the man?
Yeah. And the man was not present. Mm-hmm. We don't know where he was. It was absent. It's silent in Scripture. Mm-hmm. But you better believe that God knows what is just and right. Mm-hmm. And if for some reason the man got off scot-free in this example, Jesus understood that. Mm-hmm. And he is just and right. But he's also merciful.
Yep.
And so when Jesus says, like in Matthew chapter 7, judge not that you be not judged, he's speaking of a censorious judgment where we hold people to a standard, or we hold people to a law that we ourselves are not keeping. That's why he said, you know, if you judge, you know, beware lest you be judged. And how can we, with a big log in our eye, you know, tell our brother with a speck in their eye to remove that speck? Like, we can see this Jesus as the perfect example of both truth and mercy lived out, but we should see it through the local church body and family.
But if you do this without trusting, your complete trust in God and his word, what happens is you have, like we're seeing right now, we're seeing played out, you have people trying to create a moral, mm-hmm, existence, a society, when they've laid Scripture aside.
Right.
And that's just it's just not going to happen. You know, you've literally said, okay, God, we're going to take you out of the picture, but we want what you have. We want what you promise. And this is where you have these, you know, some really sad stories. And like you said before, there's a lot of money to be made with some of these procedures that are people, you know, and so it's going to be perpetuated by that element, like the emotional, you know, the woman that wants to have a child, and those people that are all too willing to charge a lot of money to do this, and all in the name of, you know, fulfilling the commission of being fruitful and, right, multiply. And it's like, you just got to be so careful. And that's really what we're trying to do today, is kind of, maybe somebody's listening that, think about this from the standpoint, what does God think about it? Mm-hmm. You know, because there are, you know, anytime you do it your own way, there's going to, even if it sounds right, even if the end are, you know, sound good, there's going to be consequences. There's going to be, even, you know, for you, for your family, for, you know, just think about Elon Musk. And the only reason I'm picking on him is because he's a public figure and what, but think about him at the end of his life, all these children with different women, and he doesn't know half of them probably, you know, and yeah, he's got the money to take care of them, and that's doing it man's way, you know? And it's really no different than some of these other things, procedures or ways that we go about doing it. And then societal as well. There's societal implications here where, okay, so you say it's okay for this group of people. Now you got to say it's okay for this people. And you have a government that's talking out of both sides of its mouth.
Yeah.
And so you really have a lot of problems.
There's a lot of biblical worldview problems around this issue. If you're just joining us, this is Andrew Slutton sitting in for Steve. We do have to get to one last break here in the 4 o'clock hour, but we'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Give us a call, 701-271-1100, or text in your comments at 701-237-1590. We are having a conversation with Michael Woods, pastor out of Beulah, North Dakota, and I hope this conversation has been fruitful, and we will finish it up here in the last segment on the other side of the break. Happy Friday, everybody. It is 4:50 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Andrew Slutton sitting with you, local pastor here in town. So blessed to be able to pastor the great people at Antioch Church and be a part of that community, and also very blessed today to have Michael Woods sitting with me here in studio. He is a pastor of Truth Community Church in Beulah, North Dakota. He's been a good friend of mine. He was in town this weekend, and Steve asked me to fill in, and so we've been having a pastor discussion, and we just have a microphone in front of us this time compared to the times that before. We have these discussions all the time, and really what I love is to be able to talk about things that are true and right and eternal, and that is the Word of God with like-minded individuals. And Michael has been that friend to me over the years. And so hope that you have enjoyed the discussion. I know I sure have. You know, as we kind of wrap up what we've been discussing today, you know, we started the program talking about the executive order that President Trump signed on Tuesday, where he basically wants to expand access to IVF and looking into ways that his administration can make it more affordable for families. And, you know, when we look at an issue like IVF, I think we need to have a very clear biblical approach. And we understand it is very much an emotional issue for many individuals and mothers in particular. But that's what we wanted to kind of close out this conversation with today, is one biblical example of a mother, her name was Hannah, and she could not have a child. And the Bible records she went to the temple and was so overwhelmed at not being able to have a child. And, you know, if there's any mother that's listening today that you have experienced infertility, you know exactly what Hannah was experiencing. And so the Bible records that the priest at the time, you know, looked at her and basically almost with judgment said, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And thought actually she was drunk because of the way that she was so contorted and just very, very grieved that she was not able to have a child. Mm. And so this example I use as we kind of close this conversation, because what Hannah did was she made some commitments to God and she trusted in God. Mm. And God answered her prayer. And, you know, I just want to be able to speak to somebody. And Michael has over the last, you know, over the last couple of minutes, we've tried to send this message as clear as we can, is that God's way is the best way. And God hears every prayer that we pray, and every cry that we have, he hears it. And he answers. Now, God is sovereign. And, you know, when we trust in his way, we trust in his word. Sometimes, you know, that will maybe look a little bit different than our way and our plan. But
it's going to look different to the world, too.
It's going to look different to the world.
It's going to look crazy, you know?
Yeah. The Bible says that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Mm-hmm. The image and symbol, so to speak, of modern Christianity is a cross. It's a suffering Savior. It's, to many, would look at a cross and say it's weakness. Mm-hmm. But the cross is the epitome of exactly who Jesus Christ is, both truth and mercy. And so in our lives, when we approach these very difficult issues, we have two choices. We can take matters kind of into our own hands, or we can trust in God.
Yeah.
But thankfully, we have the Word of God to give us examples of what trusting in God looks like.
Yeah, and absolutely. And the consequences of not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Hannah is a situation where, I mean, think of the social implications there. A woman was only valued as her ability to have children.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew that, and her husband tried to, you know, gloss over that, but she's like, I gotta have a kid, you know. And guess what? She went to the right place. That's the key here that we're trying to get you to think about here today is, have you tried trusting in God completely? You know, we're not against medicine. We're not against, and we believe that all these, some of them, many great advances in medicine and technology are because of the goodness of God, you know, but ultimately we're the ones that make the decision. Ultimately, we know, are we really going to God with everything, with all of our concerns, knowing that he, especially when it comes to this topic, he cares about this deeply. And so there's just great, maybe not you individually, but as a society, as the years go on, as Abraham found out, you know, this isn't happening soon enough. This isn't happening quickly enough. You know, I want this child. And again, that's not the only example. There's others, as we said, just have you tried God's way? Have you tried just completely in a radical way, depend on God, you know, because the government's going to try to, you know, do some things, provide for some things. Legislation is going to try to do some things, fix some things, but it won't work. It's man's way.
There is such a thing as wisdom of the world and wisdom from God. And the pursuit of truth and the wisdom from God, to the Bible says, you know, the wisdom of the world is very appealing to our senses. It's almost as if, you know,
it's sensual.
It is like we can feel like, oh, this feels so much like the right decision. Mm-hmm. But you know, if we live by our feelings, we're going to die by our feelings.
Right.
And like this issue in particular, I know it's a very devastating issue for many, but I hope that this conversation brought a little bit of clarity. Because we are going to have to deal, and we are dealing,
or another option,
our options,
you know,
but
like
dealing with the consequences
of
some of these decisions. You know, we're stuck having these discussions around consequences of IVF, or, you know, what comes down the road after this. And, you know, states are trying to put guardrails around it. Well, I think there's a deeper issue at play here. That is that we have, as a society, fallen a long ways away from the plan of God for marriage, family, sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And there still is a cry and a wisdom from God that, you know, the Bible, book of Proverbs in particular, I love it, because it basically says wisdom is crying in the streets. Like, it's available for those who will submit to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the wisdom, the yielding to wisdom from God is what, you know, this conversation is appealing to all of us. Like, there is a wisdom that is from above that we will never attain to in our earthly wisdom. So, Michael, thank you for being here today.
It's enjoyed the conversation.
It has.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has. And thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to the Steve Hallstrom Show on this Friday afternoon. We are out after this at 5 o'clock here. There is an MSUM sporting event coming up, and so we are going to tag off here. But again, just wanted to remind everybody that the times that we live in are exciting times, in that there are many things happening in our culture. But I hope that everyone can go back to the source and ask the questions of why we are talking about the things that we're talking about from a societal perspective. And to me, it all comes down to a biblical worldview. But thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you have a great day. God bless.
God bless.